Do you look at the Ottawa thing? What was your first reaction when you heard about the video, saw the subsequent player's reaction, and I guess an apology yesterday after the game? How'd it make you feel?
Honest to God, I was going to refuse to talk about it today. Like, to me, for an Uber driver to tape that and show it to anyone, it's just like, I hope someone smacks this guy someday. Like, to me, you're in a cab, you're talking, players complain. They're like soldiers. Like, I've done a lot of trips overseas to visit soldiers. They complain. They complain about food. They complain about their commanding officer. They complain about their platoon leader. But they don't, it's just part of the job. And players on winning teams, in first place, like, you talk to guys that played for the Blackhawks when they won all those cups. Joel Quenneville, oh, he's a real hard guy to play for. He's just... I can't believe, like if you believe anything those players said is really what they think, the fact that a guy would tape that and then give it to somebody, what a scumbag.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I'm asking if you look and go, maybe in the last decade, are we all more conscious? Now, I get this from my wife. You'd be shocked because I have a loud voice. And so we'll be in a restaurant and she's like, keep it down a bit more. Keep it down when you're out, when you get seated on an airplane. Keep it down on a train. Should these players, is there any level of awareness that needs to be just a touch, Brian, greater? Especially the driver asks them what team they play for. And instantly, I don't know why I say this, and this might be Monday morning quarterback, it instantly would get my radar up going, why is he asking me that? Just out of curiosity? I don't think so, because we're starting in on what we're talking about anyway, but then we kept going. I might have stopped, or a veteran player might have stopped them at that point, right?
Yeah, maybe, but I think when you're in a cab or an Uber, you're entitled, you're with your wife, you're having a conversation about one of your kids, I think you're entitled to some privacy there. I think this is garbage, and let's talk about something else.
Yeah, happy to. Let me ask you about the Leafs' performance last night. Not the best of scenarios with puck movement, puck control. Do you look and go, there's just going to be some greasy wins? There's almost going to be some lucky wins where our goalie is better than their goalie in a 60-minute window of time. Is that how you view the win over the Knights last night?
Yeah, there are not many lucky wins. There's very little luck over the course of 82 games. Like luck is something that does chase you around, but if you're successful over 82 games, it's not luck. But it was greasy. It was ugly. I was bored last night. Yeah. I thought it was a boring game. I thought it was poorly played. I thought it was a gift for Vegas to leave with 2 points. But, you know, good teams over the course. The year we won the Cup, we had 10 nights like that where our guys weren't quite ready, but we somehow pulled it off. The goalie got us 2 points. So I think good teams win games, and the Leafs are a good team. And good teams win games they're not entitled to because they, you know, last night the difference was a goalie to me. I thought Freddie was great last night.
Yeah, he was.
I saw you with George McPhee last night. He had sour face on, and who can blame him? What did you think the Vegas Golden Knights were going to do this season after they made it to the Stanley Cup final last?
Well, again, there are a lot of people who are saying, I told you this, I told you that. I think there's a lot of selective memory in broadcasting. But what I will tell you is what I said at the start of the year was, look, the reason that they won last year, in my opinion, it was magical. You know, it was crazy what they did last year. You can't recreate that type of magic. But I said the thing that enabled them to win was they didn't have a 20th best player. They had the 7th or 8th best player off every team in the NHL due to really favorable expansion draft rules. But this year you're seeing that they don't have the top end either. Because they got the 7th or 8th best player from each team, they don't have the top player. Last year, William Karlsson was out of his mind. He'd never played like that before. Last night was more, I think, his level. So I don't think they're... Last year what happened was great. Great story. Good for them. I don't think they have the horses to be that team again. I think they caught lightning in a bottle, and it doesn't happen twice. So I think they're going to be a good team, and I think they'll be in the conversation for the playoffs, but they don't have high-end players.
8:11, Brian Burke's with us. Elliot Price, Greg Brady, Brady and Price. Penguins Capitals tonight at 7:30 p.m. on Sportsnet. So I see the Joel Quenneville news yesterday morning, but I'm going to lay this out for you. I love getting your big picture stuff because you follow the other sports too. In comparison to the NHL, I'll lay this out for our listeners too. 4.5 seasons ago, there are 2 of 31 NHL head coaches running the same bench. John Cooper in Tampa, Paul Maurice in Winnipeg. In the same period of time, there are 9 NBA head coaches, 13 NFL head coaches, which I couldn't believe, and there were 9 baseball managers at the end of the season. There's 2 NHL head coaches. I don't think hockey's getting this right. I know it's always been a last resort for you, firing the coach. You do it when you absolutely positively have to. What is it with the league that is so hair trigger about coaches? Is it because players can't be dealt the same way they could be 15, 20 years ago?
It's partly that, but we've never been patient enough with coaches in our league. In my opinion, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing that I never fired a coach I hired. I was a GM for, I don't know, 15 years, and then 5 years working at the NHL and 5 years in Calgary as president of hockey operations. And I never fired a coach I hired. And I always felt that if you're going to fire the coach, you have to be able to say to the coach, I am firing you because I have given you enough players to win. I believe this is a playoff team. We're not in a playoff position, and it's your fault. And I never felt, seldom felt I'd done that. And now there's going to be 32 teams next year. 32 teams. So every owner is entitled to win a Stanley Cup every 32 years. That's the math. And so I don't think there's enough patience in our game with coaches. I don't think there's enough patience in our game with GMs. I think it's a joke. And the teams that are successful have patience and they have stability.
But there are relationships that maybe grind between general manager and coach, and I think everyone believes that this has been going on for a while in Chicago. It came to a head almost before he won his second cup in Chicago, and this was inevitable. And I'm not surprised that they didn't fire him at the end of last year. He found a quieter moment, I think, to fire him early during this season.
Yeah, I heard those stories way back when, but here's what I know. I've known Joel Quenneville since he played, okay? So I'm not a newcomer that met Joel when he started coaching. I've known him since he played. First off, he was a great teammate when he played. Great guy. Everyone loved him. And a thinking player. And a lot of the great coaches were defensemen. Now, people think I was a defenseman because I love defensemen. They look at the trades I made and how I built my teams. Everyone thinks I was a defenseman. And partly because my point totals were so low and so poor. And everyone thinks, oh, he was a defensive. No, I was a right wing. I just was a crappy right wing. But most of the great coaches, a lot of them were defensemen because they have to think the game better. This is a guy who won 3 cups. This is a guy who won in St. Louis, with less talent. He's a great coach. He's a Hall of Fame coach, like first ballot Hall of Fame coach. He's going to walk into the Hall of Fame. His shoulders aren't going to touch the door frames. That being said, that's not the decision on when you change your coach. You change your coach when you think he's lost the team and you don't have a choice. So I have a lot of respect for Stan Bowman. He's a real sharp guy. I can see this. I can see it coming to this where, okay, you've won your cup, you sign your guys, you've got major cap problems since you've won your cup. Everyone does. I mean, the Toronto Maple Leafs haven't won a thing, and they got cap problems. So This is not Stan Bowman being a bad guy. This is a Hall of Fame coach, but it might be time for a change. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with the GM saying it's time for a change. I don't agree with it myself because I think Stan Bowman or I think Joel Quenneville is just an amazing guy, just a great coach. He'll be out of work about 72 hours if he wants to work again right away. He makes big dough. He has big dough. He doesn't need to work. If I were Joel Quenneville, I'd go sit on a beach for a few weeks and think about what's going on. But if he wants to work tomorrow, he will have a job offer by tomorrow.
Well, Bruce Boudreau was out, I think, 2 days and then 7 days. And Bruce is a good coach. He keeps getting opportunities, but there isn't the playoff resume Joel Quenneville had. Subsequently, I wanted to ask you about Randy Carlyle. Randy Carlyle was out of work 3 months before you hired him, after Anaheim had let him go. Is it a danger for a GM, though, to hire a guy because you think the grass is greener on the other side? Or is Joel Quenneville, could a good coach lose his job who may not be expected to because a team says, we just have to have Joel Quenneville. It's an upgrade. It's an upgrade. It's out there. We should get it.
Well, I think the for sure, like for sure, the dynamic on it is, okay, so you're a GM and your team can't win. And so you say to yourself, is it the coach? And then you say to yourself, okay, I think this coach has lost my team. Once a coach has lost the team, he can't get it back. We're truly not listening, not responding to the coach, nothing. Once that happens, you have to make a call. It's inevitable. The other dynamic is, who's out there? It's like musical chairs. So who's out there right now? What's the best coach out of work right now? Joel Quenneville. What was the best coach out of work yesterday? Alain Mignot.
Yeah.
So if you want either one of those guys, and you're thinking of firing your coach, if you were, say, the Anaheim Ducks, I don't think they're looking at a coaching change, but if they are, they've got to move on one of these two coaches or both of these coaches, if they like them, before someone else does. So there is a timing element to it where the availability of people might force you to make a move quicker than you want to, but I don't sense I had heard last week, and they didn't say anything about it because I don't want to put gasoline on any fires. I had heard that one team was waiting for a coach to be fired because they wanted to hire him, and it wasn't Quenneville. So I don't think we're done with coaching changes yet.
We got about 45 seconds. I wanted to ask you about Randy. I was at the last home game that Ron coached for you guys, and it was rough. I know how everybody felt about it, but there probably wasn't a second candidate. You're not hiring Randy Carlyle just because he's out there. You had to make a change for your team, but there probably wasn't a second. We in the media speculated it was Randy Carlyle getting that job, and we sure weren't wrong about that. That was, you won a Stanley Cup together. Of course that makes sense, right?
Yeah, and not just that we won a Stanley Cup. Randy Carlyle did a great job for me in Anaheim. Like, we went to the conference finals our first year. We won the Cup the second year. He did a great job. So it wasn't just we're buddies or anything. I never played with him. I never worked with him before other than the Manitoba Moose where he did not coach. He was the guy, and he did a great job for me there. And he would have done a good job here if we got more time.